This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
Let's do a live on a Get Out of Town Thursday edition of the program. Merely Bo, the great Z, fresh off of what a night you had last night.
Hello.
What a night.
What a night we had.
Well, yeah, I went ahead. I published it for the people because I wanted the
you
people
did?
To see.
You did? You posted it?
I posted it. Yeah, I wanted the people to see. I knew that we'd be talking about it. I could tell when you left here that you felt that this was the time, that now was it.
I felt like it's imminent.
It's imminent.
We
let's get it done.
On the door.
I had a long talk with him about his health.
He said when I first got on the headset with him, when I first got on the headset with Bootsy yesterday, he's like, "I'm gonna be better, Mr. Z. I'm gonna stay healthy." But then the problem was, then he was kept picking up. It was great. So at the very end game, and we'll tell the story, but just the people who play the game will appreciate this. At the very end game, NBC walks in.
Yeah,
and I was like, "Bootsy, do you have any big pots or a med kit?" He's like, "No, but I got bandages." NBC's like, "What are you doing with bandages?" Because bandages they don't even get you back to 100. Like, they can only get you to, so they're useless. They're the most useless thing in the game.
Yeah.
And NBC's like, "But I got bandages."
NBC, so they were at different parts. So Bootsy was upstairs in the loft. That's where he was playing. And then NBC was downstairs in the basement. So they were, and I could hear NBC yelling at him. And then I heard him getting that he was going to get involved. He was playing with his friends. Yeah. There was a big consternation. Like, who's going to get to play on the Xboxes when they got home? They're all fighting to see who gets to play. And are their buddies
like
on?
He's never at. I feel like
he is, but like, he's not as much. He is, but he only plays with like his one buddy.
Okay.
So if his one buddy's not on, then he's out and he'll go do something else. But like the other two, like NBC was playing with his buddy. So then Bootsy was like, he goes, "Can I play with Mr. Z?" And yes, go ahead. Enjoy yourself. Have fun. So
then all of a sudden I start getting like, join my party. He sends like, he might send eight of them in 2 minutes. I'm like, "Bootsy, I'm trying to get there."
Yeah, that's on brand. Yeah, that's how it goes. It's 1,000 asks all at once. And so, yeah. So I could hear that it was coming, but I don't understand the game. So I don't know, like, when you're close to anything, I have no idea what you guys are trying to do. I could hear him talking, but not you. So I could hear him talking about, like, "Mr. Z, we're going to drop into here. I'm going to do this." And then like, at one point he hopped into a car. But then the one thing I thought was funny was, like, he's like, he kept saying, like, "They're in the vault, Mr. Z. I think they're in the vault." And then eventually at some point you must have just been like, "All right, dude, like, they're not there. Like, we got to go over here." So I see, like, you're avatar thing like running, and you were playing as Predator, which I was dying as
the alien,
or alien.
It was the
okay,
alien.
It was alien. Yeah, one. I that's right.
So oh, yeah, that's what we got the Vic in, right?
So, yeah. So yeah. You're gone. You took off running, and then I heard him say, "All right, I'm just going to come with you."
He was great. So
he was.
We actually did when he said they were in the vault. They actually were. He was actually correct. I want to give him those kudos. And so we crept up, and there are grenades you can throw that stick to the wall. And so they were stuck in a confined area, and I chucked three of the grenades in there, and we leveled them.
Yeah.
So then they were dead, and we were able to get the medallion, get the good gun, and go around. And then we were like, then we were really rolling, and we were about our business. And then we were off to the races. I mean, it was so fun because we had gotten a couple of seconds, and you just knew we were I knew we were due, and it was one of those games where it came together. I was in a good zone. I think I had 15 kills, which is a career high for me.
Your strategy is very different than his. His strategy, when he sees someone, he appears to be to kind of like run towards them.
In a straight line. Straight, you know, line. How easy it is?
It's like the Stark kid at the Battle of Winterfell. Like zigzag a little.
Move.
Nothing. Yes. No, he just runs
and
right
in. And I'm like sniping.
He runs right in. And so out of the corner of the screen, like I see snipe shots. I'm like, that's got to be Z up on a hill, like just
and
taking
I'm smoking
him out.
People.
And he's just running at him.
Yeah.
I'm going, what are you doing? But then I've told you before, when we play laser tag, him and me, he and I against his brothers, he does the same thing. Like I'll have us in a position of incredible strength where they lose patience. They come to us and we take them out. Like it's the same game over and over again. He loses patience, and he wants to go hunt them. And then when he sees them, he runs at them. And I'm like, dude, get behind a tree. So he does the exact same strategy in the game as he does in laser tag.
It's he did better in this one. He was good. So it was funny. My mom had just walked Asa, so she came in and saw that I was playing. She's like, are you playing with Bootsy? And I was like, yeah.
That's right.
So she likes to sit down and watch. She's like, it's like a movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so she was dying because I was like, Bootsy, no, come, but he did much, much better.
Yeah.
And then at the end, we ended up in the mountaintops is where it kind of went, and we had high ground. So I was like, and he's like, I'm going out. I'm like, no, stay up here. Yeah. We have high ground. And then he slid down accidentally.
Yeah.
So then I'm like trying
to
cover.
Well, he was apologizing for that.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, I'm sorry.
I'm like, all right, get back up here. And so we took everybody out, and I had a good sniper, and then I had the best shotgun in the game. So we were able to, once they got close, I was able to get them with the shotgun, and then from far I was sniping, and Bootsy was, his strategy works as long as he doesn't die really quickly, because it makes them
it's chaos.
Go to him, and then they're not even shooting, so then I can just line up and just get.
So did NBC hop in at the end too? So were all three of you involved?
No, he was there providing commentary and yelling at Bootsy a lot, which was hilarious, because Bootsy then, we kill the next to last group, and they all had medallions, and so the medallions are down. It's like, I want a medallion. I'm like, Bootsy, we're good. Like, we're 2-on-1. Just stay with me, because the worst, only thing that could happen is if he goes down there and gets caught in the storm, it's a 5-tick, which means 5 of your health come off, and it doesn't matter what your shields are. 20 seconds, it's over.
Yeah.
You'd be dead.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I got to get him. He's like, there's another medallion. And I'm like, Bootsy, come on.
Get it.
And then NBC's like, come on, Bootsy, knock it off. So he gets in the storm a little bit, loses some health. I'm like, that's when I was like, do you have a Mickey? He's like, no, but I got a bandage. And NBC's like, what do you have a bandage for? They're useless. So we then found, and we knew there was one person left.
Yeah.
2-on-1. I was like, we're winning. Like, at this point, I'm like,
yeah, we got it.
We're winning.
Yeah.
And there was one house, and the guy was hiding in there. And so I shot the house down, basically.
Yeah.
And then he had to come out of hiding, and he didn't want any of our smoke. And then we got him, and then you were there.
I was there to record it. Yeah, I had I knew it was getting close because I could hear NBC yelling at him about what he needed to do, that he was close.
NBC so was thought, like, come on, you're right there.
You're right.
We can do this.
So I'm like, well, I feel like this could happen at any moment. And then I was lucky enough to be recording as it happens. So
amazing.
That was, yeah, what a night. What an absolute night.
So was that his first Vic of any kind ever?
Of any kind. In that game, I think.
What a joy to be a part of.
I don't think it's ever happened before.
The Vic dance that he did was amazing.
He had a very strong Vic dance. He was very excited about it. The funny thing was, though, and I think it's in the video. I probably should have proofed the video to make sure it was all safe before putting it out on the X. What I thought was funny was, like, it was a quick celebration of the Vic dance, but then also, like, let's run it right back.
Right back, yeah.
Let's go right back. And I'm like, it's 6 o'clock. Mr. Z might be going to go spend time out with his family and such. Like, he's probably not going to run it right back with you. And then NBC, he was like, he wanted
NBC
to play.
NBC, 3. So I said, we'll do that next time. But I had to go get Bryce.
Yeah, you got
Bryce has he's in the pit orchestra for the show that opens, Newsies, opening tonight.
Oh, nice.
And so he was in Tech Week, so I had to go get him at 6:30.
Yeah.
But it was, I got to tell you, it was joyous. I was fired up. There were high fives. Arden was in the house listening and laughing her butt off. And, yeah, she gave me a nice high five. My Nana was, the official Nana.
What is going on?
She was real pleased. And then I get in the car, and I was with Bryce, and I told him what happened. I was like, hey, we got this, you know, me and Bootsy got our first Vic.
Yeah.
And it was Bootsy's first Vic. And I said, I remember, like, my first Vic with you. And he's like, so what happened? And I gave him, like, the quick rundown. I was like, yeah, I had 15 kills. I was like, I felt like you probably feel playing with me, in that not only, like, I was the dominant one. I had 15 kills. But then I'm also trying to wrangle Bootsy. And, like, with him, he's so many levels above me.
Bryce
and he's
trying
just trying to wrangle me.
Wrangle
and
you.
Be like, and I'll be like, where are they? He's like, I don't even know what's going on. When he gets into the builds, I don't even know anything that's going on. So it was very it was very funny to be on the other side of it.
You were inverted.
Yeah, we were inverted.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. It was so that was fun. That was a very good job. We'll do this show. We're gonna have a mailbag in this program. And you can tweet those questions. How should we tweet them? Who should they tweet them at, Uno?
One of you guys, I think.
We need you to
tweet at Browns_daily. You can see what's on the mentions.
You can still do it that way.
Yeah. And if you want to just do that or do the hashtag.
Uno's looking
hashtag
confused.
#AskCBD. #AskCBD. Ask us anything. This is an AUA. Ask us anything.
I just don't know how to see the mentions when I can't, like, when you're not logged into the account. That's the only thing.
All right.
But.
So send it to me.
Yeah.
And Bo at Nathan Zagura at Bo Bishop. And do that.
Not BGSU_Gibbs.
No. I do like that Gibbs's presence. His fingerprints are all over this show. I'll let people a little peek behind the curtain for the people as we got a in the hot topics of the day. Which are presented by Vivid Seats, official fan experience partner of the Cleveland Browns.
Good job to you.
Gibbe said, quote, it's on you guys.
As opposed to the rest of the times.
Yeah. Well, Uno's been actually giving us some.
No, but first segment,
topics.
These
typically,
tend to be this offseason. This is how these go.
Yeah, that tends to
it's
be
on us.
That tends to be what we've been doing. So this is I'm looking right now that is not in the rundown. So I feel like we should talk about it now because why wouldn't we talk about it now?
Go.
Oh, I got two things for you. So I was just down in the cafeteria.
All right.
Getting my lunch today.
Okay.
Wouldn't you know? What based on our show yesterday, if people were listening, we put it in the what would be out today to consume. Down there.
Gosh, what were we discussing yesterday?
Starts with a P. Ends with an ogie.
The pierogies were out.
Pierogies today. Pierogies. Potato and cheese.
See?
Stuffed inside of a noodle. So I was,
that's right.
I was talking with the great Holly, who happy 40th birthday to Holly.
Yeah.
About it. And she loves pierogies. And so I posed to her.
Okay.
First of all, I said, I keep running back to try to appeal to real pierogi people, the shepherd's pie one. Okay, you can have your potatoes.
Yeah.
Have a little cheese if you want, but let's add some ground lamb and maybe like some peas and some carrots.
Yep.
And then we'll make it. That's something that I could get behind.
Yep.
So I said to her, she's like, you don't like pierogies? I go,
Feels like it. Look, I get it.
Very
I understand the nostalgia. I understand there are certain things that culturally are very, very significant. But I will tell you that there are. For example, I remember the first time I had certain ethnic dishes, and I'm like, wow, that's great.
Yep.
The first time I had a pierogi, I wasn't like, oh, my gosh, constantly going to be in the repertoire.
No.
Ever, because it's a noodle with potatoes. That's what it is. So
I prefer to keep my noodles and my potatoes
separate.
Yeah,
I don't need the delivery mechanism
right
on the mashed potatoes.
It isn't like a provolone squirrel.
No. No, it's not. So – anyway, so you want to do this meat pierogi.
Yeah, so she was into that. But then I was saying, she's like, so you don't like dumplings? I was like, could be further from the truth. I'm a dumpling aficionado. I like a soup dumpling. I like a pot sticker. I like a shumai.
Yeah.
Any dumpling.
Sure.
Meat in it, I'm good.
Sold.
Wagyu gyoza in.
Sold.
So I said to her, you can have pot sticker style dumplings, soup dumplings, all these things that I've named. For the rest of your life.
Yep.
But no pierogies. Or you can have pierogies.
Yep. And none of the rest.
None of those ever again.
Yep.
She chose pierogies. I couldn't believe it.
It's got to be nostalgia.
I couldn't get my head around it. It's powerful. It's potent.
You want to know
how potent it is? Our buddy Tequila Fila was in here earlier today talking about how his great affection for pierogies.
Yeah.
He's in a great Patagonia today.
He's great Patagonia. He's got a nice way about him. We've always been big fans here on the show, but
he's like the dude.
Yeah, but he's a rocket ship. He's tech stock in '98. Like it's just
he's Bitcoin.
He is Bitcoin, but no, just
well, if you look at the long play, it's
long play,
just
like
that.
Long play Bitcoin.
Yeah,
good job.
So Tequila's in there, and one thing that maybe makes him get out of his nice way is the discussion of pierogies because Uno's like, I'm sick of pierogies.
I grew up eating them. It felt like it was once a week. yeah. eating pierogies.
Done.
And I'm just tired of them.
Him. And Tequila Phil looked at him and called him a profanity.
An unmentionable.
An unmentioned something we can't say on this show.
Mm-mm-mm. So Fila wants to have him, he'd have him like every day?
I don't know. He was not pleased. And then he, to Fila's credit, because this is the kind of human he is, he did apologize to you for his disparaging remark earlier. He said, I'm sorry, that was over the line.
It was over the line.
Yeah, and then I stood between them and I said, let me tell you something. You come in here, Tequila Fila, you will treat our interns with some respect.
That's right.
Which with Griff and Uno both like got a kick out of that.
They
like
that a lot.
Yeah.
So Fila's all in on him.
So all in. So I said, you've got a quite frankly, you would have to, I'd have to be in jail where they did not serve dumplings to keep me from eating pot stickers.
Right. So there was a guy yesterday. I mean, we've had a few, but there was a guy yesterday who sent us with a it had like the Polish eagle thing at the top, and it had every variety of pierogi.
Yep.
Okay. If that's a world we're going to live in, where I can pick, where basically I just need a noodle delivery mechanism.
Yeah, making a pot sticker.
Okay, that's all. That's
what I'm doing.
If that's what we want to call them, fine. That I can be interested in.
Of course.
But the ones that I have are of two varieties. Mashed potatoes in the middle, mashed potatoes and onion in the middle, mashed potatoes and cheese in the middle. That's it. That's the list.
Yeah.
Those are the only ones I've ever had.
Nope. Yep.
So those, they're fine. It's fine. I'm not here to disparage. I'm not saying that they're bad or any. I'm not saying that. That's not what's being said. It's fine. It's a fine thing.
Yes.
But it's not revolutionary.
No, it certainly is not. I mean, a ravioli, they're Midwestern raviolis. That's what they are. It's a Midwestern ravioli. That's it. That's how I feel. What
Mark's got this. There's a place in Myrtile. That serves a sausage and jalapeno pierogi that is stellar along with all the standard potato and cheese. Look at it this way. They're just large raviolis that can be stuffed with anything. I think the what do you think? Where are there more Ohio expats? Myrtile, Hilton Head, or the Naples, Florida area, Southwest Florida? Where are there more expat Ohioans? Because anytime I go to any of those places,
I think
it's overwhelming Ohioans.
I think if you went just Florida in general, like Naples is a select group.
Well, I mean what is that airport down there? Like that
Fort Myers
Southwest Florida airport that goes all the way to the
RSW.
That's it. And you get your Naples in there, and then what's the island that's down there that all of them go to? I went there for Marco Island, that area. Feel like you wear a red hoodie and you're going to get an OH. That's coming.
Oh yeah. I think that is going to be my answer.
Yeah, that one.
Yep.
All right.
I'm sending out a tweet with questions for. By the way, I was pumped. I called you though last night. I got to tell you, I was disappointed. I thought we were going to.
When did you call me?
I called you right after the Vic because I had to get in the car and I wanted to be regaled with tales of the Vic and the aftermath.
Oh, it was dinner. Like it was dinner time. So that's probably why, because I was up there badgering him that it was time to eat.
He probably gave you a big enthusiastic thumbs up this time. Yeah, it's probably like, sure.
Yeah.
Did he say the food tasted better as a champion? That's something I would have said as a little kid.
I did have him. When he was younger, I did have him give a lot of champions prerogative. He was doing that a lot when he was younger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He does. He carries. He's got a little.
There's
little
a part
zest.
Of me that was hoping he was going to come to the dinner table and do like a thank you speech. Like, thank you and Amy for having him
and
for guiding him to this moment and his brothers for being
you would have been mentioned prominently
Mr.
because
Z.
No one else was going to help him. The other two were never going to help him get a Vic.
No, I did.
It was always going to be you that did it. And I don't even know what the hell I'm doing. He is. There's no question. I think that dance tells it all. That's it.
It's unreal. Pure joy.
In the sports world, did you see the
did you tag me in this where you posted the video?
I don't know.
I know you don't follow me, but
I'm not. I don't. I guess I must not have.
I hope that's hurtful. I feel like
I should have. I'm sorry.
I deserve to be tagged in that.
You should have been tagged in. I mentioned you.
Okay.
I said with an assist from his Uncle Z, I think is what I said.
Okay. All right.
I was trying to get it out there because I knew we were going to be talking about it. I was trying to get it out there before we started the program. So Bootsy's first Vic with tremendous assistance from Uncle Z.
Okay, fine. I'll take it.
So, yeah, you're in there.
If you know, you know.
Yeah, if you know. And he's just. so thrilled.
Pure joy.
His perch for playing is interesting, I think, too.
I like how he's sitting up there, but I want him to be maybe a little more stable because if he fell, then all of a sudden the controller gets a little haywire.
Jarring.
He's in the, yeah, he gets in the storm. So you mentioned Sports World because I have a Sports World one for you. I bet you're going to say the same thing.
Will, are you interested in Jake Paul fighting Mike Tyson?
So glad you brought it up. The most interested.
Tyson's 57. He'll be 58 when they fight.
I think he's going to. If it is a real boxing match.
There you go. How?
I don't care that he's 58. I was not going to beatbox about it. People are like, what do you mean he's 58? He's going to get knocked out. I'm like, nah. Watch this video.
No, he won't. No, he's not getting knocked out. But if you hit it, if it's a real fight, like if they're actually trying. But here's the deal. If you're Jake Paul, you can keep this act going a long time so long as you don't lose.
Yes.
You can keep doing these promotions with celebrities and stuff. Like, you can do this and make money over and over and over again so long as you don't lose. Once he loses, then that's it.
This is the most excited I've been for a boxing match since I think I was in high school when Mike Tyson was at – when I remember watching Mike Tyson bite Evander Holyfield's ear off.
I remember that well.
Same.
Very well.
I was at Ricky Silva's house.
I was at Casey Kellogg's house. Oh. Yeah. Remember that vividly. There was a De La Hoya. Was it Pacquiao?
Never did it as much for me.
No, you kind of want to see that. Roy Jones never had. There was never anybody to fight Roy Jones.
No, he's too good.
And the heavyweight stuff is where it was at. And you have to be our age to remember heavyweight fights being the biggest thing in the history of the planet. But they were. Like, probably from the 60s, 50s and 60s until Tyson ended, the heavyweight championship fight was the biggest thing in sports.
Yes.
Like, the world stopped for those. And so that's the – yeah, I mean, I feel like if they're going to try, I don't see how Tyson would lose.
I think he's going
to – you destroy him if they try. My fear is that they'll just kind of hold each other and grapple. Because didn't Tyson fight Roy Jones and that's what they did? I think Tyson fought Roy Jones, and this guy was on the undercard.
Huh.
And I think they just kind of like held each other.
I don't
other.
Want any of that. I want.
No, you want to see him fight.
I want to see Mike Tyson do the stuff he's doing in these videos. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. Him all out. Going.
Yes. Oh. He looks to be in incredible condition.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I think if he's going, he's going. If he can go, I would. I want to see this. So it's on Netflix, so then it'll be on another paywall within Netflix. I'm sure, right?
I don't think so.
You think it's just going to be for my Netflix subscription gets me access, or you think it's going to be another $20 inside
of
Netflix?
I don't think they have stuff like that, do they?
It's coming. Didn't you get that? I just got a warning not long ago. It was either Hulu or Amazon. I just got something like, your current version of Hulu now or Amazon will now contain commercials to upgrade. Please go to whatever.com.
That's that, but once you're on there, there is an – at least in my understanding, there is not a pay. The whole,
point
of having it in there is to get subscriptions. So okay. They're not, I don't, no way. Would
they
that
won't
be
double dip?
It. No way.
Yeah, I'm going to be into it.
I'm real into it.
Yeah,
we should watch it together.
That would be a scene.
Yeah.
That'll be a scene.
Yeah. Transformative Turkey.
What is that? January? Is it like the 13th?
It's in January?
Or July, I'm sorry. Like July,
July
13th?
Yeah.
I think it's July 13th.
Yeah.
All right, let's put that on the calendar.
It's like a Saturday night. S-A-T-U-R-D-A-Y.
Let's do it. Hey, big job out of Previtz. Saw him. The delivery mechanism of the Girl Scouts. I had these direct delivered to the domicile, and they came probably 48 hours after the order was made.
Wow.
Yeah. You went the lemon. That was your first-round draft pick?
Probably a thin mint for the family. The lemon, you know. It's cookies with inspiring messages to lift my spirit. Thank you.
It's also the best one, the lemon ones, in my opinion.
Really? This is how I feel about lemons. And I like a lemon in a water. I enjoy that a great deal. Have it every morning.
Every day.
Many. A great many lemons every day I have. But the on a pastry, it's fine. I just,
love
if there are other options, I think I would go with the other options.
My top desserts are banana pudding, banana cream pie, bananas Foster, and lemon bars.
Oh, that's such a high, that's a high threshold on a lemon
love
bar.
A lemon
more
bar.
Than like of the varying varieties of cakes.
Here's the thing though, lemon bars aren't on many menus, so that's like
rare.
I have my buddy David Morris, his wife Karen makes the best lemon bars.
Yeah,
and then put them in the freezer.
These are transformative lemon bars.
They are absolutely transformative lemon bars. But that's not ever on like a restaurant menu. There's never like, oh, I have our great lemon
bar. In fact, I think the last time I had a lemon bar was probably at Starbucks like 15 years ago. So I can't even tell you the last time I had one.
Maybe a cannoli. Love a good cannoli.
Oh, cannoli's fantastic. Yeah.
We just had a baked Alaska the other day.
You know, you don't see...
Delightful.
A baked Alaska?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
A baked Alaska.
Do you know what it is, Uno?
I've heard of... it before, oh my God. I have no idea what's in it, though. But I've heard it before.
I told you guys about the moose situation, right? On the Iditarod with the Alaskans?
Yeah.
Did you hear the update?
Now the guy's in trouble because he didn't gut
it properly?
He didn't properly
gut it.
Give me a break. He saved a woman's life.
Well, the woman wasn't involved. It's a dog.
Well, a woman was trying to fight it off first with an axe.
What?
Before he came in.
What are you talking
scene.
About? I don't see anything about axes and women.
Talk about the story from The Athletic?
I'm talking about the story of the guy in the Iditarod guy.
Musher. Who killed a moose.
Yeah. There's nothing about a woman and an axe. I don't see anything on that. This is from the Associated Press. Iditarod officials on Wednesday imposed a 2-hour time penalty on Musher Dallas Seavey for not properly gutting the moose he killed during the race earlier this week. Race Marshal Warren Palfrey convened a 3-person panel of race officials to investigate the circumstances surrounding the death of the moose, which became entangled with Seavey and his dog team early Monday, about 12 hours after the day-long race officially started. Seavey, a 5-time Iditarod champion, encountered the moose shortly after leaving the checkpoint. He used a handgun to shoot and kill it about 14 miles outside the village at 1:32 in the morning, sir.
So this comes from my father, then.
According to the panel's findings, Seavey spent 10 minutes at the kill site, then mushed his dog team 11 miles before camping on a 3-hour layover. The team then departed at 5:55 in the morning for the next checkpoint, arriving at Finger Lakes at 8 a.m. where CV reported the kill. It fell on my sled. It was sprawled on the trail. I gutted it the best I could. It was ugly. Ben determined the animal's not sufficiently gutted by the musher. I'm not going to give you the definition of what proper gutting is. If you know, you know. This is the final line in the Associated Press story. The moose was retrieved and the meat is salvaged and processed. Iditarod associates were distributing the food.
So this is from my dad.
Okay.
Sends that story.
Yeah.
And then says the craziest part of the story, this is a text room now, is the woman was fighting it with an axe before the guy showed up with a gun.
We live in two Americas.
So where does he get that from?
I don't know. There's no part. I mean, I've been following this story. This is all I've thought about for 2 days is this story.
So that part, I only have that part from my dad. Okay. It didn't show up in the article, but then my dad said it.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you mean?
His wires are getting crossed. He's
so
got
in
too
his
much
mind,
going on. There was no woman and an axe involved.
This woman with an axe was fighting a moose.
I see.
The woman was fighting with an axe. That's what it says. I don't know what you want from me. I said, I can't believe a guy killed a moose. That's serious. They're dangerous. You don't want any part of a moose or an elk. And my dad writes back, yeah, a woman was fighting it with an axe before the guy showed up with a gun.
He's crossing his streams.
So what story involves a woman with an axe?
I don't know.
We're getting some sources.
Any number of stories could involve a woman with an axe. As I'm reading the story, I'm just thinking to myself, think of the world that you inhabit. And think about how opposite this is, that at 1:30 in the morning, this guy is on the back of a sled going across the Yukon in Alaska, being pulled by dogs, encountering a moose, killing it, gutting it, and then continuing on at 5:50 in the morning.
Yeah,
that was his Monday night.
Yeah.
We're all Americans, kids.
Yeah.
That's a pretty damn big difference for what my Monday night was.
Quite. Yours was quite a big difference. By the way, real quickly, a traditional baked Alaska.
All right, go ahead.
Is a dessert consisting of ice cream and cake topped with a browned meringue.
That sounds delicious. It sounds like a butter rum cake type situation is what it seems like to me.
This is what it kind of
I would have thought it was a salmon, to be honest. A baked Alaska felt like it was going to be a salmon dish of some sort.
No. It's like a good ice cream and then it has like, it looks cool and you kind of cut into it and it's cake and ice cream in the middle.
That sounds fantastic. I'm a huge cake and ice cream guy.
Yeah, same.
That's a big win. Same. All right. So get us your mailbag questions.
Yeah, please do. Daily.
We'll get those. Coming up. We'll go behind enemy lines with the Bengals.
It's on you guys than us. Is
no, we're the undisputed,
we're the
enormous Venus of it's on you guys.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
You're welcome. Right. We'll go behind enemy lines with the Bengals. Curious to see if they actually think that they can actually keep T. Higgins. So we will get to that. By the way, busy day in the NFL in terms of
oh my goodness.
Cuts and releases And one trend that deserves some examination, we will get to that coming up next. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Bally Bet, sports betting partner of Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
In lieu of the read that was scheduled, I know Ask CBD is coming up, but Preston with three questions that I think are timely and important.
Number one,
would Billy Joel and Rod Stewart ever perform together? They would, Preston, or they will.
Yeah.
Number two, if they did, how many nights would they perform? They would do it for one night.
One night only.
Number three, lastly, where in the world would one of these shows take place?
Look at those, by the way.
Those are Beamsies. Beamsy has those.
Those are the family heirloom trophies.
Yeah, that's the one Beamsy has those.
Chicago one, yeah.
Beamsy has those. He's got blue laces in them.
Yeah, he's got blue laces.
Yeah, yeah, Beamsy's don't have blue laces. They're black, but he has those. Those are the... That's the
family
one.
Trophies.
That's the one
that
I had to
family and friends trophy.
That's the one I had to track down.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Yeah, I had to.
If it's on his foot. You know, it's a hot commodity.
I'm guessing that his size isn't quite in the vicinity as Beamsy's.
Yes,
but
yes.
Three. What's finally from Preston. Lastly, where in the world would one of these shows take place, and would they have the fortitude to do it on Friday the 13th?
It's really four questions, and the answer is
should have had bonus four.
Where in the world, Cleveland?
That's
Cleveland
right.
Stadium.
Yep. They would have.
Yes. The fortitude is had.
And Preston, you get the show.
Yeah, Preston. Hey,
good job.
Preston, take the rest of the week off.
Yeah. It's a Sunday.
Well, it's 39 degrees.
Chilly.
It's 39 degrees. And the ground is mush.
It's mush. There's no chance.
It's a mush.
Yeah, it's
so I'm glad that you told me about this, that the axe person is real.
Well, so we got clarification in the break. And I just want to know how, because my comeback, here's what happened. Thanks to NEO Sportswagon. This comes from a story in
the
Guardian. It's a very good name. Comes from a story in the Guardian that illustrates there was a previous incident at the Iditarod with a large animal where a female musher defended herself with an axe.
Okay.
So that is referenced in the Guardian story talking about this guy defending himself with a gun. Pedro, no reading comprehension.
Crossed the streams.
Crossed the streams.
Yeah, for an English.
Made it one.
For an English
for a guy
teacher.
Who, I can't imagine the attention to detail that was demanded of you as a child
and
reading comprehension.
The
red
yolk,
ink.
Red
the
everywhere.
Yolk, all of it. And here he is. He is, this is a bad, it's a game of telephone gone bad.
Yeah. I can't wait to see what he says. I wrote back, what happened with the woman with the axe? We'll see what he says.
That'll be great. Didn't he say the guy fought off the woman? The woman was defending herself with an axe, and then this guy came upon it and fought him off with a gun.
The story that he presented was this woman, this hero, was fighting the moose with an axe in a just a bloody one-on-one, and then he happened upon it, saw her, and said, you know what I'm going to do? Bring out a pistola.
Yeah.
Ba-boom. And now that moose is dead, and you're saved.
Yeah.
And I'm
so
a hero.
So all of a sudden, his became like an HBO, an episode of True Detective.
Right.
Like all of that happened.
And now they're dating.
Now they're dating. Going out to a nice seafood dinner.
And I love
would have loved that.
Moose on the menu.
Moose. Yeah.
It's a moose jerky.
We had a lot of guys released. Jordan Poyer, Tre'Davious
can't
White,
believe it.
Mitch Morse, Justin Simmons, all-pro safety. Remember, we were courting him like 3 or 4 years ago.
Their cap, I mean, if you want to say, Jordan Poyer is a beast.
Yeah. Michael Thomas is expected to be released by the Saints. That went bad after all that money. That went bad.
What do you think, without looking?
Okay.
And I'm going to look because I'm asking the questions.
All right.
So he had, I want to say, 2 great years.
He had a year where he set the all-time receptions record. I want to say he caught like 138 passes or some absurd number. Yeah. That might not even be high enough, but it was an absurd number where it of catches.
2016.
Give me his first year in the league.
Because
the second year is when he goes nuts.
Come on, Internet. Let's go.
Get there.
Get there. We're efforting. I'm stuck on Danny Dimes. Danny, according to Pro Football Reference, Danny Dimes has 2 nicknames.
Yes. Brown's therapy with Bootsy Daniel Bryan. So Bootsy, you're the champ. Oh, he'll love that.
He's going to love it. He's really going to love that.
Really,
yeah. That's how I feel about it. Daniel Jones has, according to Pro Football Reference, 2 nicknames. One is Danny Dimes. Do you know what the other nickname of Daniel Jones is, according to Pro Football Reference?
Oh, geez. I mean, the natural would, I would assume it's DJ or something. Jonesy, maybe? What do they go with?
Vanilla Vic.
He's never been called that.
Never heard that.
No.
No. And I don't want to ever hear it.
No, that's silly.
All right, here we go. That bought us enough time there with the Internet. Well, not quite. Almost.
Do you want me to do
it?
I
will say this. He's a 3-time Pro Bowler.
Yep.
He is a 2-time All-Pro, and he is the 2019 AP Offensive Player of the Year. Here we go. 2016 rookie season, 92. So he had 4 really good seasons. 92, 137, and 9 as a rookie. Then 104 for 1245 and 5. Then 125 for 1405 and 9. And then in 2019, 149 catches to lead the league, set the record, 1,725 yards, 9 touchdowns. Since then, since 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, he has totaled basically 1,000 yards and 4 touchdowns over the 4 seasons after that.
So that was after he got paid.
Yep.
He got paid after that 148 one or whatever you said. That's crazy. But yeah, I mean, he was – to be like, and then just fall off a cliff. Now, there were injuries.
He missed a whole 2021 season with an ankle.
Yeah.
Failed surgeries, and apparently not the nicest guy to his teammates, it seemed, as time went
on. No, a little prickly.
A little prickly.
Yeah. Is what it seems. But he's 31 now.
Yeah, and he was never fast, even at the peak of his powers.
No. He was a big target with great hands.
11.6 yards a catch for his career.
Yeah. What do you make of all these safeties?
It's stunning. I think teams have to make decisions clearly, and the decision they're making is that's a position that they're going to try to fill elsewhere. I mean, if you're in that mark, Justin Simmons, oh boy.
All pro.
Yeah. Poyer is a great player. He's not a traditional free safety at this point. I can tell you that they like him down in Miami. I wonder if he ends up somehow back with Mike McDaniel, but these teams... Yeah, at some point, you run into money issues, and at some point, you've got to – Justin Simmons is a victim of the Russell Wilson trade, really.
Yes.
That's the reality of it.
Yeah.
It's surprising how many people have been released.
If you just can't make the money work forever.
No.
Especially when you have huge mistakes.
Right.
Like that one. If you have a huge mistake like that one, it's very difficult to get out from under it.
Yes. Let's see if there's – Is there like a release tracker somewhere on the internet? Let's see if I can pull that up.
I mean, like Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer?
Tre'Davious White just never got the same from his injury. Poyer is very – Mitch Morse was an all-pro too, right?
Yeah. All were all-pros.
That's wild.
Yeah. But we said that about – we were talking about that with Baltimore, and the Bills are in the same spot, right?
Like, yeah.
They – if you just look at their situations – their window with those rosters is closed.
It's over.
So the question now will be, can they find a way to do what Kansas City did, which is redo it in a different way on the fly?
They don't have.
But they don't have 15.
They don't have him, nor do they have. Don't forget, Tyreek Hill fetched them a pretty nice return.
Yeah, but
like, you're not going to be able to trade Stephon Diggs, and
no.
What are you going to get for him at this point? Not much. So here's you want me to go through everybody that's out there?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, we'll do it. Why not? We got time.
We got time.
Arizona Cardinals have not released anybody. The Falcons have released Jonnu Smith, who apparently has already talked to the Miami Dolphins.
He actually reportedly has signed with the Dolphins now. 2 years, $10 million.
Wow. Today?
Today, yeah, like 5 minutes ago from Rappaport.
Can he do that?
How can he do that?
Because he was released, you're eligible to sign with anybody.
So you're ineligible if you're a vested veteran.
Okay.
So Jonnu, so there you go. That makes all the sense in the world. The Bills have released Poyer, Ciaran Neal, Tre'Davious White, Deonte Hardy, and we know Mitch Morse as well. Panthers, Hayden Hurst, Bears, Cody Whitehair, and Eddie Jackson. Bengals, A.J. McCarron. Browns, nobody. Broncos, Russ and Justin Simmons. Lions, Tracy Walker III, the corner. Jags, Darius Williams, Rayshon Jenkins, and Foley Futakasi. The Chiefs cut Marquez Valdes-Scantling. That's an interesting one. He signed a 3-year, $30 million deal with them. Eric Kendricks.
Unrelated.
That looked like somebody who was mean to us.
It does.
The Rams.
It does.
Center Brian. Yeah, right. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah.
Center Brian Allen. Dolphins, Xavien Howard, Emmanuel Agba, Kian Cross, and Jerome Baker. Vikings, Madison. Patriots, Lawrence Guy, Adrian Phillips, J.C. Jackson, C.J. Uzoma from the Jets, Kevin Byard from the Eagles, Avante Maddox, Trubisky, Okafor, Cole, Keanu Neal from the Steelers, Isaiah Oliver from the Niners, Quandre Diggs, Jamal Adams, Brian Monet from the Seahawks, Shaq Barrett from the Bucks, Charles Leno, Nick Gates, Logan Thomas from the Commanders.
It's a lot of safeties.
A lot of safeties. A good one. I mean, Diggs is still good. Jamal Adams, more box. Poyer is still very, very good. That's surprising. Eddie Jackson's a safety. It's listed as a quarterback here. Eddie Jackson's a safety and a good safety for the Bears. Rayshon Jenkins was a good safety for the Jags. Yeah, there are a lot of – if you're in the safety market, and Duggar, Kevin Byard, Keanu Neal, and Duggar was taken off the safety market.
This from Jerry Dulac, who covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. Pittsburgh is interested in signing Russell Wilson or tentatively planning to meet with the former Broncos quarterback before the start of free agency. Wilson has interest in joining the Steelers. The story coming at Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
Yeah, of course.
No kidding.
Duh.
Like, we had Brooke on yesterday, and we were like, what are we doing?
Right.
It just didn't add up.
None of it added up.
It just didn't add up. And she knew it, too, but, like, what are you going to do? Like, it's, you know, where you're at. So.
Russell Wilson, I would be happier with them getting Russell Wilson than I would with them getting Justin Fields. Wilson's a short-term thing.
Correct. And Fields is just so much more dangerous than Wilson is. Wilson will be check down Charlie. He was very good. He will be a marked improvement of what they had the last couple of years, for sure. What do you got?
We got a great question. It's not for now. Later.
For later?
It's going to be one that you're...
Did you get a Pedro response yet?
You're going to have to really ponder. No.
So here's what's happening. Because he was texting you in real time. So he was texting you as you were texting him. You hit him with that. Now he
Silence.
Went... Now he's going back...
Yeah.
To find out, am I caught in something? Did I misrepresent? What's the real truth? That's where he's at. Where he's at right now. He's trying to find something that will validate his tweet or his text.
David Gray has asked an all-time favorite answer. Yeah. I like the question very much. And I'm so
very
curious to hear your answer.
All right. Speaking of quarterbacks, a guy named Zach Rosenblatt at The Athletic did quarterback predictions for every NFL team. This is comedy.
It's fun.
It is very fun.
I found it this morning.
I read it. I did this. I talked about this morning.
I sent
it. There's a lot of comedy to it. I love when people do stuff like this.
It was the first text I woke up to was Z with this article.
Yeah, it's very fun.
I was like, yeah, we need to.
We'll get into it coming up next. You'll listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
When a medical mistake causes your injury, call the medical malpractice attorneys at 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk & Elk is a proud partner of your Cleveland Browns. Zach Rosenblatt, The Athletic. Quarterback predictions for every NFL team. I had a lot of fun with this. The one that's getting a lot of attention is Justin Fields and us trading for Justin Fields.
Yes.
Okay.
I even got texts about it from people who have called Browns games this year. I'm like, I don't think so.
No. So just think about just from a – Think about this, and you are far more plugged in than me, but just from my amateur standpoint.
This time of year, not.
But here's what I'm saying. This front office covets assets, okay? They are also very smart and diligent when it comes to financial distribution of the monies on the roster. The idea that they would give up an asset to trade for a quarterback when you're already paying one that you've already given up a lot to get and you drafted one last year, and you have a guy who was a veteran who was here last year who played well, saying he's willing to come back if he can't be a starter somewhere else. To me, it's fun, but there's no chance.
No.
None.
No. No.
So, like, I go, it's a fun little thing. It's a fun exercise to throw something like that in there. To me, it seems, I will be honest with you, I thought that there would be a more robust market for Fields than it appears there has been.
It feels like it's starting to make me feel like he's being treated like Jameson was when we thought Jameis, we thought deserved a little bit better than he was getting, and nobody else agreed.
Do you think that's possible?
It shouldn't be.
That we just misread it the way we misread Jameis?
He's much improved.
He is. But is he? I did wonder about this season. I think I even said it on the show. Is he that guy who fantasy people love because he scores a bunch of fantasy points, but real football people don't?
Well,
because Jameis had that for a little. Jameis threw
for sure,
5,
but he threw a
yards.
Ton of picks.
He
did.
Right.
Like, that's the difference. Like, Fields last year, 61% completions, 16 touchdowns, 9 picks, quarterback rating of 86, average 7 yards an attempt. And then he does, you can't ignore what he does for you as a runner. You know, 2 years ago is 1143. This year is 700 yards, 4 touchdowns on the ground, 5.3 yards a carry. I mean, I don't know. It feels like something you could work with. I mean, it's kind of, and he puts it in here as like a throwaway without offering any idea of the compensation. There's no, the Browns have a second, a third, and then they go 2/5. Like, if the Browns could trade a 5th-round pick for Justin Fields, would they do it? Sure. But if you could trade a 5th-round pick and get Justin Fields, wouldn't somebody else do that?
You would think.
That's what it seems to me.
Yes.
I also thought, I liked what he tried to do at the beginning. Locked in, nothing to see here, 15. Safe, but something to prove, and he put Deshaun in that. Deshaun's locked in.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray's locked in. Derek Carr, I think, is probably maybe actually fits that category. And then young, unaccomplished, but safe. They should be locked. Like, right now, the Colts and Panthers are locked into Anthony Richardson and Bryce Young. That's just locked in.
Yeah.
And then, to me, the two that are kind of locked in, but maybe not, it would probably be Derek Carr and Will Levis. And then maybe Daniel Jones, Geno Smith.
Yeah, I think Levis, the only thing that keeps him from being all the way locked in is just as he was a second-round pick, not a first.
Right.
And this group didn't draft him. So that would be the only thing that would keep him from being locked in. But I think that they're going to give him a little run at it. He played well enough that you're going to, I would think you'd give him a little rope here.
Yeah.
So he has Cousins going to the Falcons.
All right, so yeah. So we'll
let's
go through
it. Go ahead.
All right, so he starts Bears. Caleb Williams. Let's get the easy one out of the way first. Bears get Caleb Williams.
Yep.
Bucks, Baker Mayfield. Now, he says Mayfield should have a robust market if he makes it to free agency, since he's the second best option behind Cousins after a breakout year.
I don't understand how that. I don't see that. I don't see how he's a better option than Russ or Fields.
I don't either, but this is what he
this
is what
Zach
he's saying.
Is saying, yeah.
Said they just signed Mike Evans, so they have no plans to rebuild. I think they pay up before Mayfield can hit free agency. Falcons, Kirk Cousins. There it is. They think he's the type of player that moves them from a fringe playoff team to a contender. Vikings.
Yep.
Let's get wild. Sam Darnold and Zach Wilson. Darnold has never been in a particularly winning situation. No one's ever questioned his talent. A year with Shanahan, he might be ready for another shot at starting. Although it's possible Justin Jefferson would not be thrilled with this arrangement.
No kidding.
You think? Yeah, I don't know about that one. Broncos, Sam Howell. Howell reminds me a lot of Baker.
Yeah.
Early in his, I mean.
A lot of similarities, yeah. And so that would be because they're going to draft Drake May, and you don't, you know, then.
Commanders take Drake May, number two. Daniels would not surprise me at two either, but I'm predicting a North Carolina star for now. Vikings lose Cousins and were willing to trade up from 11 to 2 or 3. I like them as a destination too, especially since new quarterback coach Josh McCown actually coached May in high school. But May is perfect quarterback for the new regime in Washington to build around. Brugler compared him to Justin Herbert. So Josh McCown's now the quarterback coach for the Vikings?
Sure.
Good for him. Raiders, Jaden Daniels. Would take a lot for them to jump all the way from 13 to 2 or 3, but I think they'll be willing to do it. It would not be a stretch to say Daniels is their guy. Raiders coach Antonio Pierce recruited him to Arizona State. They have a close relationship. Vegas appears committed to finding a significant upgrade at quarterback. Maybe they pursue Cousins, but I think Daniels ultimately will be their target.
Could they get him?
I guess they're going to have to trade a ton. I don't know.
Yeah, how are they going to move all the way up?
I don't know. Patriots, Jacoby Brissett and Bo Nix. Remember, the Raiders would have traded up with the Patriots at number 3. Elliott Wolf wants to accumulate draft capital and build up the roster, so trading down and getting a bunch of picks is not a bad idea. Brissett will be in high demand as a number 2, including for the Jets, but this is a starting opportunity, and it will allow the Patriots to take a flyer on the next tier of quarterbacks like McCarthy, Penix, or Nix. I went with Nix. Good arm, understands where to go with the football.
Here's a better idea if you're them. Trade out of that, bring in Justin Fields, and still get all the assets from the Raiders.
100%.
As opposed to
that's what I would do.
Bo Nix.
Yes. Steelers, Kenny Pickett and Ryan Tannehill. I would be fine with that.
Yeah, me too.
Seahawks, Geno Smith, and then they draft Michael Penix Jr., going back to Seattle after a stellar 2-year career at the University of Washington. The Giants pick number 6, and they take J.J. McCarthy?
To me, he feels like Denver.
I agreed. Other quarterback predictions, Browns trade for Justin Fields to back up Deshaun Watson. It makes so much sense if Fields isn't traded somewhere to start, especially since Watson has underperformed and been injured since joining Cleveland. 5-1 last year, no big deal. Colts sign Russell Wilson to back up Anthony Richardson.
No. I mean, okay, now this is where he jumps off a cliff.
Lions sign Jared Goff to an extension, sure. Mac Jones gets traded for a late-round pick, maybe. Gardner Minshew to the Jets to back up Aaron Rodgers, okay. Flacco signs with the Rams to back up Matt Stafford.
Okay.
Eagles signed Tyrod Taylor to back up Jalen Hurts. Tyrod Taylor's ability to stay in this league for a long time is incredible.
It's been a long time, buddy.
You got to give him a lot of credit for that.
You do. Yep.
Raiders release Jimmy Garoppolo, who signs with the Texans, to back up C.J. Stroud, and he knows Slowick.
Knows that operation.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Zach. Look, you made us. It's fun to think. It's fun to have fun with these things.
He's a graduate from the University of Arizona.
There you go.
The Minnesota one, though, man, I don't see Kwesi doing that.
I do not see that at all.
Yeah.
What exactly are the Bengals going to do with T. Higgins? We'll ask Jay Morrison coming up next behind enemy lines. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, second hour here, Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet. We had that on the Twisted Tea Hotline. Behind enemy lines, our good buddy, Pro Football Network, Jay Morrison, joining the program, talking about the Cincinnati Bengals. And it all starts with T, doesn't it? And I guess, Jay, can they really keep him? How will this work? How do you see this going over the next couple weeks?
Can they keep him? Yeah. Should they? I'm not sure about that. Not this year, for sure. I mean, they put the tag on him. I'd be stunned if they traded him. I'd be even more stunned if he refused to sign the tag. He's not going to give up $21.8 million guaranteed. So I can see this playing out like Jesse Bates did a couple years ago, where he skips the voluntary stuff, maybe a little bit of camp, but he'll be there for the season opener. He'll be ready to go. And, you know, he may not be happy about being on the tag, but that's just the leverage that the NFL teams have. And, you know, next year, maybe they tag him again and then trade him. Or I don't see a long-term deal in his future. They're so far apart as it is right now. He has the same agent, David Mulgeta, as Jesse Bates did 2 years ago. There's a lot of contention there between the Bengals and that agent. So I think this is going to be T's final ride, but the Bengals be thrilled to have him, to pair him with Burrow and Chase one more season.
What's the rest of the offense going to look like? Because you have to wonder, right, is Joe Mixon's time in Cincinnati coming to an end? Certainly felt like it. We were there, obviously, for the Browns-Bengals Week 18. It felt like the way he walked off the field was kind of the way somebody would walk off the field if they were doing that for the last time. Tyler Boyd, there's no way they can pay Higgins, Chase, and Boyd. What's the rest of this offense going to look like?
Yeah, I think Joe's the last one to know that his time in Cincinnati is done. See, we all assume that's what's coming. I wouldn't be surprised if it's announced, you know, in the next couple of days. Maybe they wait and see what they get in free agency, but they're not going to pay him the 8.5 cap hit. That's just not tenable. And he's got a roster bonus of $3 million due on March 17th, and so a decision is going to be made one way or other before then. They need to get more explosive in the run game. They crave it. And if you got defenses playing light boxes and just playing back and trying to defend Burrow, throwing to Chase and Higgins, you've got to have explosive running backs that can make the defenses pay for that. Joe's solid. He doesn't fumble. If the play's supposed to get 4 yards, he's going to get 4 or 5. But they need somebody that's going to really light it up and be able to get the 10, 15, the 20, the 25-yard gains to make those defenses pay. And they have a guy in Chase Brown that can do that. That's the other thing. The only way Joe Mixon stays here is if he takes a pay cut. And it wouldn't just be a pay cut, it would be a workload cut, because they're really going to start working Chase Brown in. So I think they worry about what that dynamic would look like as well. So I expect the news on Joe Mixon to be announced within a week that his time in Cincinnati is going to be done.
Jay, we're kind of going around all the teams in the division, and kind of hovering over all of this is Kansas City, right? And it's Mahomes, and they've won two straight Super Bowls after changing their approach, going off of Tyreek Hill, and then have won in a different way. Burrow's is the only guy. It's him and Brady. They're the only ones who beat Mahomes in the postseason. But Joe's now missed good parts of two of his four seasons in the league with big time injuries. His health is obviously going to be paramount. How much of a conversation is that down there about finding just making damn sure he stays upright? Is that something he's cognizant of, or what is his approach to that?
Yeah, I mean, that is a big focus. I fully expect them to sign. They need Jonah Williams is going to leave as the right tackle. All the other offensive linemen are back, so they need to replace Jonah. I expect him to sign a guy in free agency, and then first or second round pick a right tackle of the future. The free agent's going to be a 1 or 2 year stopgap, but it's crucial. I mean, this team goes as Joe Burrow goes, and as great as Jake Browning played in relief in his first 7 career starts, the drop-off is still huge, and you don't have the same hope for a championship as you would with Burrow. So they've got to keep him healthy. And, I mean, there's questions. This is an injury that we haven't seen a lot. He expects a full recovery. The doctors expect a full recovery, but we'll see. Is it going to have any kind of long-lasting effects where he's not quite the same? I don't know that, people are worried about he's just injury prone and this is going to be year after year, because they've all been such fluky things, but it is. They are mounting, and it is definitely in the back of everyone's mind.
That's obviously a big thing. They've got the opportunity to bring back Browning as kind of the backup. He's an exclusive rights tender. He's gotten that. Defensively, though, we've seen a little bit of change. Last year it was Bates and Von Bell on the back end, and they kind of had planned for that. This year, do you see any changes on the defense? I know Woozie is a free agent, and then the big one's probably DJ Reader. Are they going to be able to bring back DJ Reader, who played very, very well for them in the middle of that line?
Yeah, they hope so. They're going to be watching free agency close with him, because the question is, he suffered that horrible quad tear in December, and the recovery on that's usually around 9 months. Is a team going to pony up and give him a big contract when he still can't pass a physical, and just trust that he's going to be able to come back from that? If that's not the case, and you get into July and maybe even August, and he's still unsigned, the Bengals would love to swoop him up, and I think he would love to be back here on a shorter term, kind of incentive laden contract. But they're not going to pay him market value. They've shied away from paying guys big money who are over the age of 30, and DJ just crossed that. So that's a big hole. Other than offensive tackle, defensive tackle is going to be a major focus in free agency and the draft. And I think Awuzie is gone. And then the big question is, what do they do with Dax Hill? He was the first round pick in 2022. Rough year, his first year as a starter, last year as a safety and replacing Jesse Bates. They think maybe his best position might be corner. So if they go out and draft a veteran safety, I think you see them make that move and move Dax Hill to corner, and then then you're doing it again. You've got all kinds of new pieces in that at the back end that you have to worry about. They gave up the fourth most explosive plays last year. That is a major focus this year on getting that number down.
Is this team, and I know the injuries cost them, they were the only team in the division not to make the playoffs last year. It just felt like, you know, coming off of the Super Bowl and then AFC Championship loss to Kansas City, that this was a team that was going to be, you know, Super Bowl contenders for a while. As long as they had Joe Burrow, Chase, Higgins, the window was going to be open. Is that still kind of the sense around this team? Who are the Bengals right now? What are they?
I believe, and they believe, they are what we saw from week 5 to week 10 last year. Once Burrow kind of got past the calf injury that kept him out of training camp and really compromised him during that 1-3 start, the awful opener in Cleveland, they started looking like the Bengals of old, and that offense was clicking, and they beat the 49ers pretty handily, and they beat Buffalo, and they beat some really good teams in that stretch. And then the injury happened in Baltimore, and Jake Browning played well, but not Burrow level. And so, yeah, I think they're losing some key pieces, but they're going to be adding in free agency. They're going to have the sixth most money once they cut Joe Mixon in free agency, and they've got two extra draft picks this year, so they can fill those holes, and they've got the main weapons, the main starters, that they're capable of being right back in the mix for a conference championship, a Super Bowl again this year.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you know, get healthy, and that's why, like, they're all in, right? Like, this is kind of this version of it, and as we just kind of comes back to full circle, the first question about T. Higgins, when you run it back for one more year with him and let's go win the whole damn thing. The counter to that would be, if you're going to – now you could get something for him. Is that off the table in terms of trading him, Jay? And is that something that they would ever consider?
I mean, they said they would consider it. They're going to listen to everything. It was quite a different message from last year at the Combine when Duke Tobin sat up there and said, if you want a receiver, go get your own. Basically, this T. Higgins talk is crazy. A little different now that he's on the tag, but it would take a crazy offer for them to deal him. They know what they've gotten him. They're big on the kind of the bird in the hand philosophy. If you go out and even if you get two great draft picks, those guys, they're still crapshoots when you bring those guys in. And if they let him play out this year and walk next year, you're looking at a third round comp pick anyhow. So if, you know, if they get a 2 and a 3 for trading him this year, you know, why not just keep him for one more year and then get the 3 in 2 years when you let him walk in free agency next spring?
When's Ja'Marr Chase going to get his deal?
It's a great question because, I mean, he's eligible right now, and I have never talked to a player that's been more open about his contract situation than Ja'Marr. He just puts it all out there, and he said, I'm in no hurry. I want to wait it out. I want Justin to sign first. I want Tyreek to sign. Those guys are all kind of by that mindset. It seems like everybody's waiting for everybody else to go first because they don't want to get leapfrogged, and I don't think the Bengals are in any hurry. It's going to happen. Maybe it's next season, or maybe he plays in 2 years from now on the fifth year option. And then if they do it sometime after that, I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to be here long term, and it kind of helps the team out that he doesn't seem to be in a big hurry to get that done.
It's wild though, to think that he would be okay playing for $9.8 million this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure the agent is in a big hurry to get it done. He's going to be pushing the Bengals, but
of course,
he does want to wait out Justin Jefferson. He's said that much.
Yeah, and then with the $30 million in extra cap space, like you think about that from the Minnesota perspective, had they done Jefferson last year, it would have been much cheaper than trying to do it
of course.
Now. There's that. There's a lot of – when Burrow did that deal, though, Jay, wasn't – and the deal came out and it reset the market and all of those things, but he was so adamant about an ability to be nimble and keep everybody together. Was that always how realistic was that?
Well, I mean, yeah, part of that was being able to tag T this year, which they have, and the Bengals, they would like to sign T. They're just far apart. There's a gap there in what they want to pay him, what he thinks he's worth. So it wasn't a promise when they structured Joe Burrow's contract in a certain way, but they made it where it's last year, this year, the cap, I think it's 29 million cap hit this year, so it really doesn't kick in till next year. And I think that's part of what they were talking about, was that they structured it in a way where they can ensure they would have T this year, and they'll work, they'll try what they can do to keep him here long term, but I don't see it happening.
So Burrow's cap number is 29.7 this year. It goes up to then 46, 48, 46. 52, 53, 57. And then there's a void year in 2030 that was added on.
There you go.
And so hopefully the cap keeps going up the way it did.
Well, I think the teams that bet on that and did these deals early and did longer deals, and you can look at the one that was done with Deshaun and obviously this one here with Joe Burrow, that, yeah, those all of a sudden – those become a smaller percentage of what was expected at the time that you signed the deal. And you got, that's a bonus for the Browns and for the Bengals when you see that $30 million jump.
Yeah,
$30,000.
Yeah, the Bengals run these models and they're predictive, and sure, you know, they were expecting it to be a big jump, but they were looking more in the 250 range. They were surprised it was as much as 255. So they knew what they were doing when they structured Joe that way.
Jay, great stuff, man. Always enjoy the conversation. Thanks for giving us a little bit of your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
All right, that's Jay Morrison, Bengals reporter at Pro Football Network, behind enemy lines on the Twisted Tea Hotline, brought to you by Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea, official sponsor of your Cleveland Browns. Yeah, I like your question. What are they? I think what they are is they believe they are a Super Bowl team next year, but it's an all-in again. They went all-in last year on it. They're going all in again on it, but the health part of it is real.
Health part of it, and there's been a lot of chipping away at the pieces that made them as good as they were.
Jesse Bates, yeah.
Bates, Bell. Now they're going to lose. You're moving Hill, where he didn't play well at safety, and now we think he's going to be a good corner?
Yeah. No, I agree. We'll take a look at their offseason, the key free agents, what their plans are in the draft, and where they, now that we've talked about all these teams, how this division stacks heading into free agency. We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Valley Bet, sports betting partner of Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Bo here for my great friends at the James B. Beam Distilling Company. Booker Noe's vision for Knob Creek has been to the embodiment of full-flavored American whiskey through age-proof and flavor to create a product that sets the standard. And that's what they've done. Knob Creek, created to champion those who stay true to their craft, know what they like, and don't feel pressure to conform. Now through April 30th, don't forget to take advantage of the Knob Creek Steak Rebate. Get a rebate when you buy a Knob Creek bourbon plus a steak. You just upload a picture of your receipts to knobcreeksteakrebate.com, and they'll send you $20 to your Venmo account. You got to be 21 to participate.
Incredible.
So full terms at knobcreeksteakrebate.com. Knob Creek, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 50% alcohol by volume, 2024 James B. Beam Distilling Company, Claremont, Kentucky. Knob Creek, drink what tastes right. Yeah, the Bengals, to sum up them, they've already lost a lot of the team that was there 2 years ago.
Yeah.
The back end, they've got free agents in Boyd, Reeder, Awuzie, Jonah Williams. They can't draft an offensive lineman. It really struggles how often they've tried.
And he said he thinks that's what their first round picks are.
They're going to try
again. I like Johan Williams.
Look at him. Johan. Come on.
Dyslexia is a tough thing.
Uno. Come on. I will say this. Well, you've done a very fine job. You've done a very fine job.
Elite.
There is.
It's been a great week.
We have enough for the mailbag that we can we will stump on this now. I have noticed someone hasn't done their job this week.
Yeah, it's in the mailbag.
It's in that room.
It's in the mailbag.
Someone hasn't.
Griff just rolled his eyes so hard.
He gave me a dirty look, and it wasn't even me.
He rolled his eyes very, very hard. Griff, I don't know about that. When I was down in the cafe today, I asked if there was some maple sausage.
Okay.
And I was like, this is bad for me, isn't it? She said, the sausage is bad? I was like, no, it's good. I was like, but is it bad for me? And she's like, you can have the sausage. And Holly rolled her eyes at me. And I said, you're going to hurt yourself rolling your eyes that hard. That's what I say to my kids. Griff just reminded me of an elite eye roll.
Elite eye roll there. They pick at 18. They've got needs now at wide receiver, tackle, D tackle, tight end, corner. Here's from their perspective, they've got quarterback figured out. They just got to keep him upright. They've got elite weapon figured out. They just got to keep him happy and upright. Jamar Chase. Chase has missed games too. Over his career, he's missed games in most of his seasons as well. So then they have to figure out, like, is Jamar Chase, to your point, I thought it was a fantastic question, is he really going to be happy playing for $9 million?
No, is the answer.
No, is 100% the answer. So do they get him done, and then what do they do with T on top of that? That's it. That's the whole offseason for them.
There's no way he's going to be happy playing on $9 million.
No.
And then a fifth-year option after that? He could be making those two combined more than those two combined in 1 year right now.
He has been adamant about
waiting.
About waiting and making sure that Jefferson goes first, his former LSU teammate goes first. But
waiting's good, but at some point you gotta get your bag.
Sometimes get your money, man.
You gotta get your bag.
Yeah. I mean,
what if he goes out there and tears his ACL week one?
Right, and that's what happened. I mean, Jefferson got hurt last year. He's still is who he is, but like he missed a ton of games last season.
Don't we know? That.
How would you rank the AFC North heading into free agency?
Baltimore, us, and the Bengals are in one group, and then the Steelers are in another. I really don't know. I think Baltimore has a lot of issues coming in. They'd probably be number one, but it feels like they've got a lot of issues coming up on that defensive side.
If everybody was healthy, like let's just say everybody's healthy.
We probably have the best roster.
The best roster. The Bengals have
the
best.
Coach of the year.
We have the coach
and the
of the
assistant
year.
Coach of the year.
The Bengals have the best quarterback situation.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds crazy because Lamar won the MVP nearly unanimously. He's won it twice. But Burrow's one of two people to beat Mahomes in the postseason.
Yeah.
So
Lamar hasn't gotten to an AFC championship or a Super Bowl.
Right. So, yeah, then they play for it last year. They were in the AFC Championship last year against Kansas.
They lost Kansas. Yeah. All right, so he hasn't gotten to a Super Bowl.
He hasn't gotten to a Super Bowl. But the things aren't equal.
I have
there
no
are major questions.
That game.
It was
you
in
picked
Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Chiefs-Ravens?
Yeah, you picked Baltimore.
How would you remember that?
I remember vividly because I said it's Kansas City. I'm not going against Burrow again. And I remember you picking Baltimore.
I know I went against Mahomes this year. I can't believe I would do that.
Or maybe you would maybe just like Baltimore and the number.
Maybe.
Might have just been the numbers.
Scores.
You might with the scores.
Was it a blowout? Was it a good game?
It was a cover city.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a cover city. They got ahead and they couldn't chase.
Couldn't chase.
Yeah. Yep. Same thing as always. Yep. But you were, it was the NFC game where your attention was that evening. The NFC title game.
Yeah.
Lions and Niners is where it was.
Oh, right. That was this year. Yeah, I thought you were saying last year. Definitely.
This year.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, that's. Every team in this division has major work to do over the next 10 days.
Yeah.
I feel like we have the least work to. I think we're in a pretty good spot. Like, we know what we need to do.
Yes.
The Baltimore Ravens have a ton of things to sort out. You see what's happening in Buffalo today. They've cut like six guys and they're still over the cap.
Yeah.
It's a mess.
Big
for
mess.
Them. I know that's not in the division, but it's a mess.
Yep.
The Bengals' issues are real.
Quite real.
And Pittsburgh now, if they go get Russ, then that solves kind of the big question I had surrounding them, like where they, I just was impossible for you to believe they were going to stand pat with that operation.
Yeah, I'd like them not to, but
I would too. But like, it just didn't make sense that they were going to, that they were just going to roll that whole operation back in any way.
Yes.
All right. So coming up next, we'll do a little mailbag. It is a Thursday edition. You're listening,
Bobby.
To Cleveland. Bobby's loaded up.
Bobby.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Don't miss Billy Joel, Rod Stewart together. It's the first time ever. It's going to happen on Friday, September 13th. It's going to happen at Cleveland Browns Stadium. They're not worried about it being Friday the 13th. They're not concerned at all. Tickets are on
sale
now. They're no fear. You can find out more by going to clevelandbrownstadium.com/BillyandRod2024.
Billy and Rod 2024. The only thing you should be afraid of is missing this concert one night only.
Billy Joel, Rod Stewart together for one night only. Is the other Paul kid still in the wrestling?
The other, yeah.
So he's still
Logan,
in it?
Logan, pretty sure he's the U.S. champion.
Okay. Where does that, what is that in comparison to the old, like, Intercontinental champion?
Same level.
All right. So in the old days, you were the world champ.
Yeah.
You were the IC Intercontinental champ.
Yeah.
And then there was tag team champ. That was it.
Yeah.
What now, do I got now?
Basically, you have the world heavyweight champion, then you have the universal champion, and then you have the U.S. title under him, and then you have another set of tag titles.
Two tag titles? Because
there's two shows. Like, Raw and SmackDown are basically, like, separate shows.
And they have separate storylines, and they don't intermingle?
They do intermingle at times, but for the most part.
Which one is, what's more valuable? The world is, which one's Rock going for?
Rock's not going for any of them, because Cody Rhodes has changed his mind and basically screwed us all out of the greatest WrestleMania ever. The
How
Cody
Crybabies,
because he won the Royal Rumble, so he got to pick who he was going to fight, and he was going to not fight Roman Reigns so The Rock could fight him.
Yeah,
and have the biggest WrestleMania main event ever, and then the Cody Crybaby's finish the story. And so Cody Rhodes changed his mind and is now going to fight Roman Reigns, and so that's why The Rock has turned heel and aligned himself with Roman Reigns and in the Bloodline. And so now Rock and Roman are fighting Cody and Seth in a tag match on night one, and if Rock and Roman win, then the main event between Cody and Roman will be under Bloodline rules, which means there are no disqualifications, there are no countouts.
And The Rock will be omnipresent in that, I would assume.
Yeah. My guess is Rock. My guess right now is Rock and Roman will win that tag match. And then The Rock will help Cody Rhodes beat Roman Reigns, setting up Rock, Roman Reigns potentially for SummerSlam.
Oh, baby. Okay. All right, we ready for a little mailbag?
I'm ready.
I feel like you just did it.
Let's start off with this one from David. Where has the Griff fact of the day been recently? It's called the fact of the day. That means there has to be a fact every single day. Why is that not happening? Get him on camera. We need him on camera.
We don't have that camera plugged in.
Better get out of the way.
Slide him over.
I don't think we have my camera plugged in either.
Oh, for God's sakes, you two.
Here, hold on. I'm going to slide. Wait, this way.
And go the other way.
Yeah. Griff, come into that space.
Go into that space, Griff. Answer for yourself.
Griff.
Where's the Griff?
Perfect.
Where is it?
Where's the fact of the day?
He says he's going to start it back up next week.
Okay.
That's okay. I'll remember that. We'll remember that. Because that's, I feel like we won't be here next week. We're going to start it back up the next week on the show. We'll see in 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah. You and I will both be out all next week.
Is that right? I'd like to be.
Well, that's apparently the way we're doing things around here.
Oh.
Because he's going to start it up next week.
Okay.
This week didn't count for Griff.
Yeah. Well, next week won't count for us.
Won't count for us.
Gibby will be back.
Gibby will be back. It'll be fine.
Griff, was it just, were we out about facts? Griff, you can say,
there was such a zest from him early on.
Griff loves Sensodyne toothpaste.
That could
be the Griff, fact,
Griff
of the day.
Fact of the day.
It could be anything.
Fact of the day. It's the Griff fact of the day.
Griff, do you detest mustard?
The look was pretty good because he doesn't know what that means, I don't think.
Do you have a strong dislike for mustard?
He just doesn't like it that much, but he doesn't have a detest.
Griff fact of the day.
Griff fact of the day. There it is.
He has a dislike for mustard, but it is not a strong dislike. Like, if you ordered something and there was no mustard on the menu, but mustard showed up on the sandwich you ordered, would you send it back?
Griff's not sending anything back. I'll tell you that.
He would eat it.
He's eating it. Yeah.
And what's that supposed to be? It's a fair question for Griff.
He's not a picky man. I just think, like, if he orders it, he's going to eat it. He seems, strikes me as salt of the earth, except for this whole Griff fact of the day thing, which he's dropped the ball on. But everything else, he feels very accountable. Feels like when he makes an order, even if it's not exactly what he wants, he's going to eat it. I don't think he wants to make waves.
I'll tell you what. I'll make waves. I was at the Cavs game. I got a Bandito bowl.
What the hell's
Bandito's
in a Bandito
tacos.
Bowl?
It was like a, just a taco bowl.
Taco bowl. Okay.
But and I read the ingredients very thoroughly, and then it comes out, and it was topped with a mayo-y crema.
Crema.
And I was like, I'm sorry, but that was if that was on the menu and it was my bad I missed it, I would eat it.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't, but I'd scoop it off and then eat it, what was left. I said, but it's not up there.
It's not up there.
30 ingredients. And nowhere does it say that, so I'm going to need another one without it. And they're like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, no problem.
And the guy right next to me is like, I'll take it with the crema. And took it right there.
Take
so
it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Griff's not, I don't think Griff's pleased with you right now.
Wait, what did
I think
do?
We're having, I think we might have some
it's just accountability,
Kansas,
Griff.
Montana crime.
No, it's just, he's got to be accountable. It's his fact of the day.
It is his fact of the day.
It's his fact
but
of the
that's
day.
How simple it can be. Matt Hardy, do you guys know who Matt Hardy is? One half of the Hardy brothers. You remember when he was Matt Hardy version one? V1-a? And every day he would have a Matt fact of the day. And one of his facts of the day was that Matt detests mustard.
Perfect. That's all you need. Yeah.
One was Matt Hardy considers green beans to be a delicacy.
They all don't have to be the Elias Sports Bureau.
No,
approved.
It could be.
It could just be anything.
Griff's favorite restaurant that he's ever been to is.
Love it.
Boom.
Fill in the blank.
If Griff could visit any country,
he would visit.
Boom.
That's three. We could that could have been your whole week. Now he's good. Is he good?
I don't know. I don't know if he's good.
He'll be all right.
Griff, are you good? Griff fact of the day. Griff is he's good. Thumbs
he's
up
good.
Like Bootsy.
Hey, he's big.
All right.
All right. You got all these. You got
you
all
want
these?
Me to go with some
go,
more?
Go.
From Tony Budak, like this question as well. Whatever happened to the on-air light project? It had a ton of steam. Even the Hoff was in. Then it just faded away. Nathan's mic taps do make me laugh daily, though. Thank you, Tony. We don't know. A lot gets done in here. Whole new office set up here. But no on-air lights. And it's caused everybody problems. In fact, I'd say of late, it's caused Gibbe the most problems.
Since we started having robust discussion about an on-air light and its lack of existence.
It's been years.
It's been years. There's no question that if I were running a running tab of the most misses with an on-air light, there's no question it would be Gibby.
Yes.
It's not close. It happens every show.
Every show.
Now, you give this.
I do.
I do a pretty good, I have it habitual.
Right, but it's not always that because sometimes you
sometimes it's
we're
them.
Not potted back up
That's
yet,
true.
So then how, there's no way
there's
to know.
There's no way to know, yeah. So I usually hit that. Then once I hit that, but I don't hit that until I look over there and I'm like, okay, I know that we're.
Yeah.
That's it. But that's the only way I know.
All right, ready for some from Bobby?
Let's do it, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby! This one feels like a direct shot. Bobby fact of the day. There have been zero Griff facts of the day this week. Bonus fact of the day. Bobby can stock 32 atomic fireballs, yes, the hard candy, in his mouth at a time and hold it for at least 1 minute.
That's unbelievable.
So he's been challenged to do this. This is said from experience. This has been done. Bobby has done that. There's no doubt. Otherwise, it's an outrageous claim like you invented the question mark.
What are the all-time monologues? Luge lessons, meat helmets, summers in Rangoon.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Breathtaking.
That's right. Yeah.
If you had to teach a class on one thing at a moment's notice, what would you teach?
I mean, I've taught like some version of public speaking. I guess that's what I did. I did that at Ohio State a couple years ago. I went down there and did that.
Lovely.
I
could do that. I could do the Browns. I could do wrestling history.
Yeah. All that.
A lot of things.
Yeah.
Food, wine, prime rib. I teach a class on
prime rib. You get a great class on that. Trey asks, how do you make the perfect transformative turkey? I'm 23 and still learning to cook. And hello, Uno. Trey says hello.
Hello. I'm also 23. How fun.
Is this your buddy? Do you know this guy? I think you must know Trey.
Maybe.
It seems like he knows you.
What's his last name?
Trey Carey? No. Okay.
We can be buddies.
You know, I don't even remember what the transformative turkey was, but it was one of your great. It was after either a Christmas or Thanksgiving, whenever I made it, and you said, "I think turkey's overrated."
Yeah, that's right.
And I'd never thought.
Stand by it.
I'd never thought of it in that way before. And then I said, "Well, I don't know. I made a transformative turkey." And then we went into the turkey that I made. It was I think it was a Gordon Ramsay turkey recipe is what I did. But then the more I thought about it, you're right. Turkey's entirely overrated.
So it's not on any.
It's not on any menu
restaurant.
Ever.
No,
you don't ever seek out. Hey, do you got a nice turkey?
There are no nice
selling
turkey
it. No
houses.
One's slinging it. There's not even a house. There's not even a restaurant.
Is that a Jeff Ruby's turkey house?
Turkey.
Right.
It's no.
A steakhouse.
It's a steakhouse. Yeah. No one's serving turkey.
Nobody is.
Nobody is. So that was illuminating. And now I'm as anti as possible on turkey.
The only thing that's good about turkey is a smoked turkey leg. Preferably had
it
at Disney.
At Disney. That's it. And there are, like, if when you're done cooking it, there are some good back jewels that are in there.
Yeah. Dark meat only.
Yes, correct. There's some of those that are in. But here's the real truth, Bootsy. A whole chicken, a whole roasted chicken is
so much better.
Significantly better
so much
than
better.
A whole roasted. It's not close.
And it's $7 and made and on the reg
perfect.
At your local grocer.
Costco slings them for $4, baby.
All day long.
And they're easy to make on your own. Like, to just
sure.
do it on your own. I do it a couple, like, probably 10 times a year. I'll make a just roasted turkey or roasted chicken.
Let's go with once a month.
It's not once a month, though. It's less than.
It's almost 83%.
About 10. 10 times.
83% a month.
Yeah.
83.3.
All
right, I got one for you.
All right, go ahead.
Favorite sport as a kid?
Basketball.
Yeah, probably for me, too. Basketball. Yeah. Uno?
Hoops.
Griff?
Favorite sport as a kid? Mine was football.
And yet you didn't play?
No.
Gosh, your mother was such a yoke on your joy.
Yeah.
She probably was validated. I was not cut out for football at that
I
age.
I don't know. You got two
he's
touchdowns.
He's talking right now. He said in flag, but I'm going to run past it. He's like, He's yeah, Tyreek Hill. He's Tyreek Hill.
Of course. Yeah.
I ended up liking track a lot more in high school anyways than I would have liked football. So I think it worked out. But
Griff,
what was yours?
You'd have been a hell of a receiver, I bet.
Griff's was baseball.
Baseball might have been my. I mean, I was pretty good. I was dominant, more dominant early in baseball than I was basketball.
Yeah, I just the pace of baseball.
I pitched. So
yeah.
When you pitch, that's pretty good.
It feels pretty good.
Yeah.
Feels all right. Yeah.
Would you rather have more time or more money? More money, and then I could buy my time.
More time or more money?
Yeah.
That was it?
Yeah.
Well, yes.
If you're talking existential, like more time on this planet, more time to be alive. Yeah.
The only commodity is time.
Correct.
That matters.
Yes.
But, to your point, infinite allows for, I have every day, wide open.
To do whatever. Wide open.
Wide open,
nothing
baby.
On my
what are you
calendar.
Doing today? Nothing. You tell
nothing.
Me. What
you
are we
tell
doing?
Me.
What are you? I'm up for it.
Yeah.
This one from this is from across the pond. Lifelong Browns fan from Manchester, England. Also a season ticket holder at Man City. What Premier League team do you guys support?
Man City.
Sure. There was a time when I actually did this. And
Man City have that guy?
Pep Guardiola is the manager of that operation.
Who's the?
They do have that guy.
Yeah, that guy.
Erling Haaland.
Yeah.
Erling Haaland. Yeah, you like that guy?
Haaland.
Yeah, he's a guy.
He's like the best player in the world.
He's NBC.
He's really, really good.
Goal
oh,
scoring
that's his,
cheat code.
That's his cheat code. Yeah, it's his cheat code. Unless he plays at the Bernabeu, then.
By
the way, they're getting.
He's given up on this. He's given up on his quest. I feel like. I haven't heard much about him trying to earn a match.
He got me over the holiday, and got me with Madrid at his place, and then I said, all right, we got to stop." He's like, "I want Bernabeu right now." I'm like, "No, I was out of touch, hadn't been playing much, and he'd been playing a lot. And
not yet.
No, not yet. But he beat me with Munich, and then I'm like, and then I kept trying to throw other teams out there. I always start with like a low team, so like even if he wins, it's like so big deal. You beat Dortmund, big deal. So then it played up, and then eventually it got to like at Emirates, he beat me with City, and I went. He's like, right now, Madrid, Bernabeu, let's go. No?
I think he deserved it.
He probably did, but when you're the parent,
it.
you decide and what you're going
right.
to get.
I got this is a good one. What fictional family would you like to be a member of?
Oh, man. Man, that's great. There's so many ways I'm thinking. Like, I'm trying to find ways to put myself in a great place to live. fictional family. I mean, the Walshes had a pretty good run in 90210.
I felt like they were doing just fine.
They did pretty good.
Yeah.
Dylan McKay's dad. There wasn't much of a family there.
No.
Yeah. Is the any, OC there, seemed there, like a good lifestyle.
Is there a Mad Men family that we can be a part of?
We don't want to be part of the family. We'd want to be one of the guys who has a family and operates with the city. And
yeah.
Oh, you need a place.
You know what? I'll give you one. I wouldn't mind being a Lannister. I think I would have been a great Lannister.
God almighty, that's a good life.
It's a great
until
life.
Until it's not. But they lived. It's a lot of wine. It's a lot of gold. They were a little over leveraged.
Fine.
But they managed it okay. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a very good one.
I think I'd have been a solid Lannister.
Yeah.
Send their regards.
Yep. There's a ruthlessness to it.
There is.
I like it.
But there's also a...
Yeah.
There's a frivolity.
How about how they tried to make that a love story in the end? Those idiots. At the end of that show. Morons.
Morons, yeah.
Oh, my God. This one from David. Oh, this had to be the one you were talking about.
Yes, this is the one.
Right, go ahead. We're up again. This will be the last one.
If Bo Bishop had to leave the Bishop boys for a weekend with either his father or not Pedro, who would it be and why?
I would leave them with my father because my father, I think, would fear the retribution that I would have, and Pedro would have no such fear.
They would come home talking about the axe-wielding lady that was saved in the Iditarod and is still in the race in seventh place.
What happened to the axe-wielding lady?
She's still in the race.
Before Google, it must have been unbelievable.
Well, that's what he was.
He was Google. That was the shtick. He had the answer to everything.
Everything.
Until he could be faster.
And he said it with
full authority.
Total conviction. It was beyond reproach.
Mm-mm-mm. One real Browns one. Do you believe we spend more money on free agency on defense, and higher draft capital on offense, or vice versa?
I'm going to say yes, because I think you can get a defensive. They might go for a defensive tackle. There we go, Mr. Hamp. To you, this is a good one. We would love a class on either wrestling history or how to properly make a prime rib. Thank you. I should maybe do a TED Talk. Bo, I could go for a class on how to make a fruit-infused whiskey cocktail or the best way to consume bourbon. You could do that as well.
I could do that, yeah.
Mike, why is this not a summer in the undisclosed location, the off-season sequel? It should be. I'd like to go back there.
It was good. I'll say this. It was pretty stark when you weren't around. Like, if you're in there solo.
Yeah.
All right. So much more to come. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, we've got season review show tomorrow.
Yes.
On the program.
By the way, how about the Banks family from Fresh Prince?
I feel like Uncle Phil would have a bit of a yoke, though. And I also, I guess would I have to be a member of the family because the sister I fancied. What was her name?
I don't remember, but yes. That's a good call. That's what Mr. Hamp the Champ said. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's not a bad one.
What was her name?
Griff says Vivian.
No, that's the mom, I think, is Vivian.
Aunt Vivian.
Aunt Viv. Yeah.
Can't remember.
I would not want to be a member of the Different Strokes family.
No. There's a lot of bad ones.
There's a lot of sadness.
There's a lot of sadness that happens in that operation. All right. The next level's next, kids. We are back tomorrow. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.